Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the NTRA Road to the Triple Crown conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, participants are asked to press star one to register for a question. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. It is now my pleasure to introduce your host, Ms. Alicia Hughes. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Carolyn, and welcome everyone to this week's NTRA teleconference on this year's Road to the Triple Crown. This week, we've got three scheduled guests to catch up with in advance of what figures to be a massive weekend of action across the country with implications on both the Derby Trail and in the handicap ranks. This Saturday features three prep races, which will offer 100 qualifying points to the winner towards the Kentucky Derby in the Grade 1 Santa Anita Derby at Santa Anita Park, the Grade 2 Wood Memorial at Aqueduct, and the Grade 2 Bluegrass Stakes at Keeneland. Keeneland is also hosting a major prep race for the Kentucky Oaks with the Grade 1 Ashland Stakes, while Santa Anita also has the Santa Anita Oaks as well as the Santa Anita Handicap among its five graded stakes races this Saturday. One trainer who is well-versed in traveling this prep trail is Lexington native Karen McLaughlin. Karen has saddled eight starters in the Derby in his career, with his best finish coming when Closing Argument finished second in 2005. He has another top contender this year with Haikal, winner of the Gotham Stakes on March 9th, and one of the expected favorites for this Saturday's Wood Memorial. Karen, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
In the Gotham Stakes, Haikal, he got an ideal pace set up, but he still looked like a beaten horse with about an eighth of a mile to go there. When you look back at that day and you look at the field, he beat, you know, a couple of Grade 1 winners and a very well-regarded horse with Instagram. What did you learn about him that day?
Well, he stepped up big time against Grade of Stake horses and finished the same way he's been finishing, but past better horses this time. So it was exciting to see him finish that way and run so well. And obviously, we're not going to get a 44 half in the Wood Memorial, but hopefully there's plenty of speed and he'll not be quite as far back.
Yeah, that was going to lead me to my next question. It looks like on paper that the pace set up for the Wood is going to be inherently slower. I said, do you feel like his kick can be as effective if he does have to sit a little bit closer this time around?
Hopefully it will. You know, it just should, he should be mid-pack or toward the rear, but not so far back if they're going 47 or 48. But he seems to finish very well. Every start, he's finished really well the last 3/16. So hopefully he will go to Mile 8, and we'll all learn that Saturday.
And, you know, he's a half-brother to another horse who's very good to you in Takako, who was a pretty successful sprinter. And any concerns, were there any concerns, or are there still any concerns in your mind as far as his ability to handle the distance going forward, considering his pedigree?
No, because his brother was just very, very difficult. He was a runoff and just was tough to train. And this horse is the opposite, does everything right. Different horse, got a great mind, big horse, nice stride. And we feel like he might even get better going further. So you never know, but at least he should be able to handle the 9 furlong.
Sounds good, Karen. It looks like we've got a lot of participants on the line. So without further ado, I will throw about back to Carolyn, and we can open up to see if there's any questions from the media.
Certainly. And once again, if anyone does have a question, please press star one at this time. And we'll go first to Tim Wilkin with the Albany Times Union.
Hey, Karen. You don't think this horse is just a one-run closer, do you?
Well, no, I don't. You know, we hope not, and we think that, you know, two turns we'll find out Saturday. But he just does everything right. He's got a great mind, and he finishes so well. Obviously, we had a very fast pace last time. We won't have that. But we feel like he'll get the 9 furlongs and just hope that there's a decent pace.
What are your thoughts on this prep season? It seems like there's no one that's stepped forward and taken command of the division. Do you agree with that?
Yes, I do. I mean, I think the two Baffert horses ran very well and kind of unlucky to lose in Hot Springs in the Rebel, both of them. They both ran very well. And the Florida Derby was interesting. That horse is very talented. Maximum Security, he's won every time by open length. So, you know, being that he ran for maiden 16, throw that out because he's a very talented horse. So, but it is pretty wide open, and we're happy to have a live horse involved and ready to go Saturday.
When did you realize that you had something with him?
Well, he trained always very well, and the first time we ran him, it was Jose Ortiz loading, and we said, don't get in a hurry. He doesn't have a lot of speed. You know, just close. You know, hopefully he'll come running to win. And he came flying and just missed by a neck. And it's funny how the game goes. Jose said, I want to stay with this horse. This is a very talented horse. Don't take me off. I'll come back and ride it. But in this game, it just happens that way. When I talk to his agent, we're going to run back here. Can you come? No, sorry, we're busy. So it just happens, and I get along great with his agent. Mm-hmm. But we really liked that the horse that day. You know, obviously, I even asked my Glaycow, the racing secretary, to ride another 7 furlongs, a 1 mile race back for him, but he rode a 6 furlong and a mile and an eighth, so we had to, I didn't think he was ready for a mile and an eighth, so we went backwards to 6 furlongs and then one and went 7, 8, and now we're up to 9. So, all right, very talented.
Thanks, Aaron.
Tim, thank you.
And we'll take our next question from Alan Carrasco with Thoroughbred Daily News.
Hey, Karen, how are you?
Great, thanks, Alan. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. You know, it's interesting to look at his pedigree, and there's been a lot of talk that he might be a one-turn type of horse that needs a good pace ahead of him. But you know, being that his paternal grandsire's Breeders' Cup Classic winner and his dam sire the Kentucky Derby winner, has got seeking the gold in the pedigree as well. All that being said, the female family does seem to tilt towards the speed. You are convinced that 9 and 10 furlongs will be up his alley?
Well, not convinced, but we feel like that it is, and we will find out more Saturday afternoon, you know, because we've gone 6, 7, 8, 9 furlongs. His attitude is great. He stands over a lot of ground. He's got a lot of scope, and he just does everything asked of him. So we don't think that 9 furlongs should be a problem, but we'll find out. We like him at the 9 furlong.
Right. You know, obviously you've gone close before in the Derby, as Alicia mentioned, with closing argument. You got sort of a taste, maybe more than a taste of what victory might be like. But, you know, considering your Kentucky roots, and your relationship with Sheikh Hamdan, what would getting to this Derby and performing well mean to you this time?
Well, it would be fabulous to, you know, get there and perform well. We've been fourth 3 times also with the second and 3 horse, but this is the only horse we nominated this year, and we're happy that we're there and getting there, and it would just be unbelievable to win it for a Saturday, but even to win well, we would be happy, but obviously we're in it to try and win it if we belong and things go well after the Wood Memorial.
And when you say we, it's the only horse in your barn or the only Shadwell horse? Or
the only horse that we nominated in my barn this year for the Derby. That's kind of interesting that we're getting there, and it's we're close to being able to run, so it's exciting.
Great. Well, thank you very much. Best of luck.
And our next question comes from David Grenning with the Daily Racing Forum.
Hey, Karen. Obviously, he has enough points to get in, but what does he need to do Saturday to convince you that he does belong?
Yes, he needs to have a good performance. We don't like this Tyrone in the Derby. So he needs to run well or have a big excuse. And hopefully all goes well, and he has a clean trip and runs well and finishes strong again, so, you know, into a slower pace. So we don't have to go if he doesn't run well. We hope that he runs well. Everything that we've seen from him, he's doing great, so they should run well, and we'll move on to the Derby.
You had Frosted, who was exceptional at one turn and two turns. Are there any similarities? When you look at this horse, do you see any similarities that you can draw upon with Frosted?
No, it's a little early yet to tell, but he does everything right, and he's got a great mind, as Frosted did too, and we like everything about it, but it's hard to compare those two. Frosted was, you know, probably one of the best horses I ever trained, so it's hard to say that right now. Hopefully I can say that about this horse also.
Fair enough. Thanks. Good luck.
Thanks, Dan.
And we have no one else in the queue at this time.
Karen, you, I said you've mentioned a few times just what a good mind that this horse has. I mean, how key is that when you're, you know, and is having that good mental strength, you know, when you're trying to get a horse to kind of stretch out to these classic distances, being able to have one that knows how to kind of relax and settle?
Yeah, it's very important, but more important with this horse because of his pedigree and his brother. Because we all were a little concerned that would he be just a one-on-one. We got to the races and thought that it's so well. We kind of took that out of the equation because Takafa was just a runoff. He was very difficult. So this horse's mind is great, and that's why we say that. He's just a different type of horse, even though he's a half-brother to Takafa.
Perfect. Well, Karen, again, thank you so much for joining us this week. And like I said, continued best of luck with everything on the Derby Trail, and hopefully we'll all be chatting in Louisville in a handful of weeks.
Yeah, that would be great. Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks again, Karen. And next up, we are going to check in with the reigning king of the American Classics, Hall of Fame trainer Bob Baffert. Last year saw Bob condition his second Triple Crown winner in Justify, having already ended the 37-year drought with American Pharoah in 2015. As usual, Bob is loaded once again this year with top talent, including reigning juvenile male champion Game Winner, who is set to make his second start of the year this Saturday in the Santa Anita Derby. In addition to Game Winner, he also has Grade 1 winner McKenzie set to start in the Santa Anita Handicap for this weekend. Bob, thank you again so much for coming on the call this week.
Oh, sure, anytime.
I said, you know, the Rebel Stakes, I know that obviously it goes down as Game Winner's first career defeat as he was beaten a nose that day by Omaha Beach. But that said, you know, given that he was making his first start since the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, I'm not sure that you could have asked for much more from him that day. What evidence have you seen from him in the morning since then that tells you that you are indeed dealing with a much tighter horse going into this weekend?
Well, I mean, I was really happy with the race. He got away a little bit down. He was standing a little bit awkwardly, and he left awkward. And he was pretty far back early. And he made a very gallant run at Omaha Beach. And Omaha Beach just dug in. It was a great horse race. It was two really good horses. And he's come back since then. He looks good. He looks really good training here. So I'm really looking forward to this weekend.
Yeah, it looks like he had a very good work yesterday. I think I saw where you referred to him as Hercules. You know, I know that he's not always the flashiest horse, but what are just some of the intangibles that you think that he has about him that makes him an exceptional runner?
Well, I think the thing about him, he's tough, he's gritty. You know, he showed that in his last race. He had every chance when he was behind there to not finish like he did. You know, he tried hard. You know, and he gives it his all. He shows up every time, and that's all you can ask for a horse. He just shows up. He's going to try hard, and that's what you need. Coming into the Derby, you want a horse that's resilient. You know, he's got adversity. He came through, and so you want to see that. And I wanted to run him the week before, but they canceled racing here because, you know, coming back in 3 weeks after a shift can be a little tough, but now I'll have 4 weeks after this, so that'll really help.
Yeah, like you said, you know, toughness certainly is not his problem. He's proven that so far. But without further ado, like I said, Bob, I know you are always one of our most popular. I will throw it back to Carolyn and see if we have any questions from the media.
And everyone, please press star 1 if you want to enter the queue for a question. We'll go first to Tom Jika with Horse Race Insider.
Yeah, Bob, there's been a lot of speculation after the two races in Arkansas that the disruption in the training schedule, planning to run them the week before out west and then having to ship them, took its toll. What, in your opinion, did that have? And then kind of, are you at all worried that it could happen again given what's going on out there?
No, I've been assured that everything, we will run this weekend, and I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a big day. We've got great racing. It's going to be a great card. It's good to see everybody back working, because my concern and what's been going on here is the employees, there's tens of thousands of people, that work in the racing industry here in California. And so, it's like getting back to normalcy. I think this is unusual what happened this winter. I think some of it is an anomaly, but, with the record rains and the surface here, they've made some changes with it. I don't know what's going on here, but, and I think a lot of horses during the rainy season, and some of these horses were just, I don't know if they were just wore out or what, but, I think, the last few days they've worked probably 2,000 horses breezing, and there hasn't been any issues. So, there's always that, they can always, they're athletes, they can always be injuries, but, hopefully, we're moving forward, and we've been under this dark cloud, hopefully, we can move forward.
And the effect that, planning to run them on March 9th and having to put them on a plane and running halfway across the country on March 16th, it just, in your opinion, what toll did that take?
I think it's, it didn't bother American Pharoah. I know that, I think he's a good horse. You have to have a good horse. And so, but, I look back in the old days, they used to run these horses. I mean, I think Secretariat ran like 9, 10, 11 times. So, sometimes it's better just to run these horses than to train them. So, I don't think it'll have an effect.
Thank you.
And next we'll go to John Preachy with HorseRaceInsider.com.
Good afternoon, Bob. In Cameron's latest workout, I noticed that you put him inside of Dr. Door, and most guys seem to do it the other way around with the big horse on the outside, stalking, getting him to finish and all of that. Can you tell me something about what your thinking was in terms of having him break off on the inside of a workmate as opposed to the outside?
John, the reason I do that is because I want him to control the work. I don't want him to go too fast or too slow. So, he comes off the pace anyway, but I want both of them just to stay at that level. So I've done this a lot with him. I'm not trying to – I know he's not a speed horse, but I want the work to go – I want him to control the pace. I want to control the work. And so I just keep a little pressure. He's the kind of horse by himself. If I have him on the outside, he loses focus. So if he's inside with a horse right there just next to him, it just keeps him focused on the work.
Okay. And, notice he's got that wing in his right fore and everything. Can you explain something about that, how that works, how he can be so good, and yet maybe to the eye his action is sort of less than perfect?
Well, I mean, all these horses, they all have a different way of moving. Shared belief. He had his left leg would really had it, but it hasn't affected him. He's at all. I mean, that's just the way he's made. But I think if he was a sprinter, John, it'd probably be, he's not going to go a half 44 flat, and he's not going to go 21 and change. He's just a steady kind of, horse that's got a nice kick, steady. So he's really never going to get up going that fast. And that's why he's been, very healthy, knock on wood, because, I don't want to jinx myself. But I've never really worried about it.
Bob, and the last one from me, and getting back to that inside work again, you know, every time I picture him in my mind's eye, I see him, you know, flying by horses on the outside. Is part of that, or do you think, you know, the training on the inside, if you necessarily in a large field find yourself, oh, I don't know, between horses at the top of the lane or something, and he may have to tuck to the inside to running room. Does that also go into that part of the equation in terms of working him on the inside to see if he will act the same way rallying inside as opposed to out?
No, nothing at all. I mean, it's he's a horse that he's just he's not going to be bothered by that. He's not. You know, he's not quick enough to really make the lead. And we don't want him to be that quick. And so, he's steady. He's got tactical speed, which will put him within five lengths of a leader. And then he just comes, makes his run. And, you know, the further, the better for him. But the reason I do that is I want him to control. I don't want him going too fast. I just want him to control it.
Okay. May you all have a safe trip on Saturday.
Oh, thank you, John.
And we'll take our next question from Tim Wilkin with the Albany Times Union.
In the Rebel, he, you know, first race since the Breeders' Club Cup, but it was an impressive second the way he ran. What kind of step forward do you expect him to take on Saturday?
I think if he just ran the same race, we'd be fine with it because the next one, that's when we really wanted him to take the big step. Right now, we just want to keep them, you know, these horses, they need to run 1-2 to get there, and we just want them to stay healthy and keep them right there in that level, and, you know, we really don't want a blowout race for the race before. And so as long as he just stays, you know, I've let him just come into his own. That's what I'm looking for. I want it just a safe type of race to be fine with me.
I mean, if you were to, you know, to take a line from the NCAA tournament seeding wise, would he be your number one seed in your barn?
I don't get to vote. The last prep race is the most important race. That's when we find out how they're seeded. So they're playing the game. I have him. I have Improbable, who I think is a very good horse. And I have Roadster, who's in San Diego Derby, who he started out as the number one seed, and then he had some time off. But when they go a mile and eighth, Tim, that separates. The cream rises at the top. The mile and eighth separates them all. Mile and 16th are all right there close together, but mile and eighth is a big difference.
And Desmond, what's up with him?
Desmond, he breed yesterday. I was thinking of going to the wood with him, but I changed my mind. I wasn't really, his work was nice, but it wasn't like over the top. I was looking for something over the top, so I'm just going to wait a little bit on him.
Great. Thanks, Bob.
Thank you.
And we'll go next to Art Wilson with the Southern California News Group.
Yeah, Bob, is this a fun time of the year for you, or is there too much pressure involved to have fun?
Well, it was supposed to be fun because I was talking yesterday. Yeah, you know, this is our version of March Madness this time of year. We got the whole madness going on. But I think once we get to Saturday, and, you know, there's been a lot of going on here, unfortunately, in California, and we've been getting beat down pretty good. But hopefully, you know what? It's a beautiful sport. People don't really understand it. We've had some bad luck here, and it's very unusual what's going on here. You know, hopefully, everybody's, you know, trainers, everybody get together, and, you know, we want to make it as safe as possible on these horses, you know, and so, you know, these horses, they're not our livelihood. They're our way of life. And there's a lot of people back here that are employees, and we have to make this work because, you know, I worry about the families. I have a lot of employees. I worry about their families, everything else. They're worried, you know, if racing needs to do well. So, you know, there's, It's been a little, it's been bitter. This last month has been a little stressful.
Well, because you've already won 5 derbies, 2 triple crowns in 4 years, is there less pressure on you to get one of these and get another one, as opposed to someone who's still looking for their first or second?
No, I think I feel the same anxiety, you know, going in, you know, you're trying to keep them healthy, trying to, you know, find the right mood for them. I think it's very stressful, but I mean, any coach, I'm sure Belichick, he just gets just as stressful as he does winning, you know, getting ready for another Super Bowl. So I never, to me, once the year is over, we just clean the slate. It's all over. I'm going in there like I'm trying to win my first derby.
Right. Okay. Thanks, Bob.
And we'll go next to Alan Carrasco with Thoroughbred Daily News.
Hey, Bob. Yeah, in a similar vein, the fact that both game winner and improbable dropped their last races to lose their unbeaten records, does that take a bit of the pressure off, you know, in not having unbeaten horses entering the final prep and the Triple Crown races?
No, well, not really. I think, you know, we wanted to win those races. And so, I mean, improbable, you know, he has to run, you know, lights out in the Arkansas Derby. He needs to run first or second, you know, if he's going to get in the Derby. So, I think there's more pressure now because he didn't win that race. So, it comes down to points. But then again, you know, if you can't run, you know, 1, 2, 3 in your last prep, do you need to be in the Kentucky Derby? You know, I'm just hoping we take him up there. He gets a great, you know, has a chance to win. You know, racing luck is so important right now. You know, that's what I worry about. So if they're good enough, they'll get it done.
Thank you.
And we'll go next to David Grenning with the Daily Racing Form.
Hey, Bob, I wanted to ask about Much Better. First, I just wanted to make sure he's staying in the Bayshore since you're keeping Desmond at home. And secondly, if you are cutting back to 7/8, how good can he be as a 6 or 7 furlong horse?
Well, you know what? He's always shown he's a beautiful horse. He's shown a lot of speed. And I think he's got, you know, I was talking to the owner, Mr. Gonzalvo, Trevilla from Three Chimneys, and you know, I think he's got natural early speed, and some of these horses like Byron, you know, he wasn't ready to go 2 turns. I tried him earlier. He wasn't ready till later in the late summer. And I'd like to run him there and then, you know, point for like race like the Woody Stevens and then maybe take a shot like in the Haskell where I think by that time they change a lot. But right now, I want to cut back a little bit, because I really think he has a lot of potential. He has natural speed. He went way too fast last time. It was like a ridiculous pace, and he didn't get beat very far. I mean, he could have easily have won that race. So, I think going shortening him up a little bit, you know, it's a more of a natural speed where everybody's around you going pretty fast, so he can maybe relax. And I've got Victor Espinoza, he's going to ride him, and Victor's pretty good with those kind of horses. He's a strong rider where, you know, he knows how to ration that speed a little bit. So I'm really looking forward to him running the Bayshore.
Keeping the blinkers on?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And last thing, you had 5 nominated to the Carter. I was just curious if, you know, after hearing what's running in there, if you might be sending one here.
No Carter. They all ran Saturday.
Gotcha. Thank you. Good luck.
Sure.
And our next question will come from Bryce Miller with the San Diego Union-Tribune.
Hi, Bob. I just had a question about the Santa Anita Derby in particular. It's been such an unprecedented situation with the track and the issues with the rain and all of that that's been well-documented. When you've got a horse like Game Winner, do you change anything strategically in a race like that to make sure you get out of there healthy? Or if you show any hesitance in terms of game plan or the ride, can that put a horse in a different kind of danger? How do you approach it given the situation at the track?
I'll really not change anything. I'm just going into, you know, I think anywhere you run, I mean, if I thought it was danger out there, I wouldn't even lead my horses up there. So, you know, I'm feeling good about what's going on here, but I don't want to jinx myself, but it's one of those things where we've been pointing for it, we trained for it, so I'm not really, you know, he's not going to ride him any differently or anything like that.
And maybe just another kind of angle on strategy in the schedule itself. You go to a mile and an eighth and then a mile and a quarter at the Derby. You've talked before about how Game Winner loves distance, would like more distance. What does increased distance mean for Game Winner in particular?
Oh, I think he likes it. You know, it's like anything. Pace makes a race, but I think the further the better. And you know, I'm trying to get, you know, Gary and Mary West there, and they got the best one on the East Coast, so that takes a little pressure off. They got a pretty nice horse in there already, so he's probably the horse to beat right now.
Thanks, Bob.
And we'll go next to Terry Keith with the City News Service.
Good morning, Bob. A couple of questions for you. The first is whether the problems at Santa Anita have affected your training and your plans for your three-year-olds.
No, it hasn't affected this winter. You know, luckily I haven't had any issues, but like I said, I don't want to jinx myself. But, you know, I always trained around the rain, and, you know, when it rained, I didn't work, and so... I wasn't running that many horses. I was just getting them ready. But it's one of those things where, you know, things happen and you just have to work your way around it. But we're still here and, you know, we just want to get to Saturday.
Bob, are you concerned about the PETA demonstrators and the people who are saying that it's not safe for these horses to be out there?
I mean, you're always concerned about the negative publicity. You know, I was very concerned about that because, you know, they don't know how it works here and you can only say so much about, you know, they don't know how we take care of these horses and the employees, the families, and there are a lot of jobs. They've never wanted horse racing. That's not my job is not to worry about them. I'm worried about these horses.
And the last question I have for you is, how would you compare your three-year-olds this year to your Triple Crown winners?
Well, I think they're, you know, you really can't compare a horse like American Pharoah and Justify. They were really the standout of their crops, you know, in their second out, you know, and I think it's a pretty wide open race this year, and it's up for the. There's some nice 3-year-olds. Everybody says, well, there's nothing really. There's a lot of nice 3-year-olds. There just hasn't been a horse that has just broke through, and I think that everybody's waiting for that. Maybe it'll happen this week or at Arkansas or Keeneland.
Thank you so much.
But
Bob.
I thought the Florida winner was pretty impressive.
Thank you, Bob. Good luck.
Sure.
And next we'll go to Jason Frakes with the Louisville Courier-Journal.
Hey, Bob. Thanks for joining us. You had mentioned Roadster was sort of your number one seed maybe last year. Going into the Santa Anita Derby with him, I mean, do you foresee him maybe being able to get back to that status and finishing 1-2 and getting to the Kentucky Derby? I know you're hoping for that, but what is your thought about him going into this?
I've always liked that horse. He's been, he showed me, from the day one, he showed signs of brilliance. You know, I thought that might be my horse, and we had setbacks with him. He's come back. His comeback race was just off the charts. I was so happy with it. Mike Smith was really happy with him. And he's coming into this race really well. He's been working well. He looks healthy. He's fresh. He's a very light horse, but that's why I didn't want to ship him anywhere. And so I expect him to run a big race.
He needs to run first and second also.
Right. And lastly, have you made a decision yet on Mucho Gusto and whether you might be sending him to Keeneland next week for the Lexington to try to get in?
You know what? I'm just, you know, I got him back here from Summit. I was a little bit disappointed because he had to make the pace again. He sort of ran the same race he did in the Los Alamitos Futurity where he did all the dirty work and he paid for it at the end. And I'm not sure yet. You know, one thing about it, you know, we're realistic kind of people, you know, about the mile and a quarter. So we haven't really, I don't cross that bridge till I get to it.
Thank you, Bob.
And our next question will come from Bob Ehalt with Blood Horse.
Hi, Bob. How you doing?
Hey, Bob.
Okay. Just wanted to ask you about McKenzie and the Santa Anita Derby. Wanted you to say what went into the decision to say go to the Santa Anita Derby as opposed to maybe the Dubai World Cup, and how has he been, you know, training for the race, and how do you feel he's going to run?
Well, you know what? He's you know, I was just when they canceled the big cap, I was like, man, I should have gone to Dubai. But my gut. I really think that McKenzie, he's going to get better with age, and I really, you know, you got to turn down $12 million. But you know, the thing about Dubai, it's not an easy ship. You know, it's like, well, he'd be the favorite, but it's a tough ship. You have to have the right kind of horse, and I just didn't think. I think next year he would be the right kind of horse for it, but he just wasn't there yet. And I really think that this horse, he's really shown signs of brilliance. He's been working well, and I was really disappointed he got beat last time, but he just didn't have the right setup, and it was a little bit, it was rainy, it's wet, and he was caught between horses. Never gotten a nice rhythm, and you know, I talked to Mike Smith about it, and he felt bad about it, but, you know, that's going to happen. But I really think that, you know, if he's going to, I want to see if he can get a mile and a quarter, and I don't want to ship him, and he looks great, but, you know, he still has to do it, and so I just want to take baby steps with him, and being that the Breeders' Cup is here, and, you know, I'd love to, you know, win the Breeders' Cup with him, and just, he's a really good horse, and the owner group, they're excited about him, and that's their big horse right now. So I felt like, you know, I manage these horses, a lot of these people, you know, manage them like you own them, and, you know, sometimes you have to just, temptation's always there, but you just wait and do the right thing. So that's what I did, and, you know, the Dubai World Cup, it was, you know, it's easy to say, oh, you would have won that, Bob, but you don't know. It's a tough ship.
Yeah. Very good. Can I ask, do you have anybody else looking at for the San Diego handicap?
No, he's the only horse.
The only one. Okay. All right. Thanks, Bob. Good luck on it with all the horses.
Sure.
And next we'll go to Michael Sector with Thoroughbred Racing Dudes.
Hi, Bob. Thanks for taking the time today. About Roadster, talk a bit about how you have been able to bring him back from his throat surgery last year and quarter cracks earlier this year to get him to this point, and if you have any concerns stretching him out to a mile and eighth.
Well, I mean, there's always concerns stretching out. You know, he looks healthy. He looks fine. The breathing issue has not been a problem. He's bred to run a mile and a half, and he acts like when he works, he gets over this. It's a very deep surface. He gets over it really well. Some horses love it. Some horses don't. They struggle with it. But the way he ran the other day was just a phenomenal race. And Mike Smith was really happy about it. And so you know, it's like he still has to do it. So I'm like everybody else. They have to break. They have to get it done. You know, you can dream all you want, but I really think he's going to be very competitive. He's, you know, I just love those horses going in this week.
Yeah, last question. You're pointing improbable to the Arkansas Derby next week, and you worked him wearing blinkers on Saturday. Can you talk a little bit about why you're testing out that equipment on him and what goes into the decision if he'll wear them next week in the Arkansas Derby?
Well, you know, after the race, he came down there, and he has a tendency of he'll look around, he'll tilt his head a little bit, and, you know, after the time with fucking Elliot Walden, who was the president of Windsor. And, you know, we talked about it, and he said, well, maybe we try a little blinker on him, I'll work him, see. And so I've been trying, trying to get him to focus a little bit more. And, you know, I'm learning more about the horse. You know, these preps are mainly you learn more about your horse or style, whatever. And I'm trying to figure out the right kind of style before we get to the Derby. And I think, you know, in his last work, we're seeing things that, you know, maybe he could, you know, improve him. He's got to improve a lot and get the mile and eighth. But, I just love the way he came out of the Arkansas Derby. He looks fantastic. And I think his Arkansas Derby will be a huge run.
Okay, thanks a lot, Bob.
And we have no further questions at this time.
Hi, Mr. Bob, I said just before we let you go real quick, just wanted to see if I could get an update on Chasing yesterday. She obviously was hugely impressive out of Sunland. How is she doing as she prepares for her expected Oaks run?
Yeah, well, you know what? She came back. You know, I was a little bit disappointed in her race. She broke, you know, she missed a gate. And then, we kept her back, and she wanted to go, and there was a headwind. And she won on just her own talent. And but she actually looks better now than she did going in the last race. I think she really needed that race. I think she ran a little flat in that race. But so we don't know. We're going to decide that tomorrow. I'm going to have a conference with Mrs. Jane Lyons and plan something out for her.
Sounds good. Well, Bob, I think there is really nothing left to ask you yet that hasn't already been covered. Again, you are a rock star, as always. Appreciate your time and coming on here, taking everybody's questions and being so open and honest with your thoughts. And I said, look forward to chatting with you many, many more times before we're here in Louisville.
Thank you, and thanks for having me on.
Thanks again, Bob.
All right.
And next up, we are going to go to the trainer who always commands full attention anytime he brings a horse to the Bluegrass State, Mr. John Service. John famously conditioned 2000 Rocky Derby and Preakness winner Smarty Jones, and if it wasn't impressive enough for him to win the Derby in his first try, he then took home the Oaks with his first ever starter in that race when Catherine Sophia triumphed there in 2016. John enjoyed more success in Kentucky this past November when Jaywalk captured the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies at Churchill Downs en route to earning the Eclipse Award for Divisional Honors. Jaywalk is set to start this week in Ashland Stakes at Keeneland, and she will be joined on the card that day by her stable bay, Lucky Lee, in what looks to be a wide-open edition of the Bluegrass Stakes. John, thank you so much for joining our call today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, our pleasure. So, with Jaywalk, you know, obviously her seasonal debut didn't go as planned, finishing fourth in the Devona Dale. I know that you said immediately in the aftermath that maybe you didn't think you had her quite tight enough. Is it kind of a fine line to kind of walk with her being a lighter frame filly, of pushing just enough to have her ready without having her go over the top in her training?
Well, it definitely is. And, you know, I mean, the main goal was May at Churchill. And, you know, the last thing we wanted to do is have her wore out, you know, the first Friday in May. So we kind of went real slow with her and brought her along at a pretty slow pace, and it caught up to her.
And, you know, she's had great success going gate to wire. She did that when she won the Frisette, and obviously again when she won the Breeders' Cup. But I know when she went at Delaware, she did kind of race that day. Do you feel like that she needs to be on the front end to deliver her best run, or can she still be as effective maybe sitting back in that first flight?
No, I think she'll run anywhere, really. I mean, she's got ability, and she's, the thing with her is she just has such brilliant speed, and she has such a good cruising pace that, you know, it's pretty fortunate to be able to have that, because she finds herself in front and kind of runs them off their feet a lot of the time.
And I said, with the Lucky Lee who you have for the Bluegrass Stakes, he hasn't run since the Withers Stakes in where he was seventh, and it looked like that day he just never got a hold of the track for whatever reason. What have you kind of seen from him since that kind of convinced you to go ahead and take a shot here at the Bluegrass Stakes?
We were pretty high on him from the get-go. I mean, he trained like he was a really nice horse, and the Withers was a race that we were pointing for, you know, from his last allowance race at Parks, and we were going to test the waters and see if he was as good as we thought he was. And he didn't run well at all. He didn't really show up any part of the race. And he came out of the race with a little bit of a neck issue that actually took us quite a while to find. And we've been working on that on a daily basis, and he's responded great. And his last work at Palm Meadows, I was thinking about the Lexington, and his last work at Palm Meadows was so good. And the bluegrass at that time didn't look like it was going to be a real salty spot for the money that they're offering. And we just thought that, you know what, we'll take a shot. If he's not good enough, he's not good enough. But I think at this stage of the game, he deserves a shot.
Yeah, like you said, it definitely looks like I said, it's a very open pace on open race on paper. It doesn't seem any real clear stand out there. So, Jolly said, without any further ado, I will throw it back to Carolyn to check in with the media and see if they have any questions for you today.
Okay. And once again, everyone, if you would like to ask a question at this time, please press *1 on your touchtone telephone. And we'll go first to Danny Brewer with Horse Racing Scoop.
John, how are you today?
I'm good, Danny. How are you?
Quite well, sir. When we talk about the Ashland Stakes, man, that thing's loaded. Good chance to put your feet in the water here, because when you chocolate kisses and need supervision, it really looks like it's a good race.
It's a really good race. Our main goal is the Oaks. And she's going into the Ashland really good. So, I think it'll be a good race for her.
Alicia touched on something about, you know, her liking the lead and all that kind of stuff. Do you try anything different here to get her ready for the first Friday in May, or is you just go out there and jaywalk needs to be jaywalk?
Well, I mean, the bottom line really, it comes down to what Javier thinks. I mean, it's his first time riding her. You know, I'm going to leave it in his hands. He knows she has the kind of speed she has. And I guess really it depends on the break. If she breaks running and wants to go to the lead, I guess he's probably going to let her go to the lead. If she breaks, you know, a little slow and gets out run early, he'll probably tuck her in behind horses and save some ground and see how the race develops.
When we talk about the bluegrass and Lucky Lee, I mean, you mentioned when you analyze – the potential entrance, absolutely a great spot for him to punch his ticket to the Derby?
Well, he's going to have to be ultra impressive to go to the Derby. I mean, if he wins and he's all out doing it and the race takes something out of him, then you know, we're not going to kill him to go to the Derby. The original plan before his last work at Palm Meadows was the Lexington and then probably the Belmont. Because I think he's going to relish that distance. I mean, he just acts like he'll run all day long. But as good as he is right now, the way the bluegrass is shaping up, I thought, we could test the waters there and see if he's as good as some of these three-year-olds. And if he is, then we'll sit down. And I'll sit down with Mr. Zachney and the Green family, and we'll talk about what's best for the horse.
John, I appreciate your time, man. Wish you the best of luck.
Thank you, Dan.
And as a reminder, please press *1 if you have a question. And next we'll go to Ed McNamara with Newsday.
John, you've done very well at Churchill Downs in the big races. Now your brother looks to have one of the leading contenders. What is that like for you and him? Have you spoken with him?
Oh, yeah. I texted him right after the race. I know how hectic it gets, like, you know, right after the race runs and let him sleep on it, and I talked to him the next morning, and, you know, we didn't really talk that much about heading into Kentucky other than, you know, when we were planning on going out there, and, he's excited, you know, it's to have a horse back in the Derby again, and I know Jason, he's going to have him ready to run. It's just a question if he's good enough to beat those other horses.
Yeah, would you be giving him any advice if you're there in the Derby or not there?
No, he doesn't need any advice from me, trust me. No, he's done very well for himself. He doesn't need my advice.
Yeah, he's been exceptional the last few years. In fact, he had his first big year in 04. He won $1 million for the first time, but 04 was your year. What is it like to have grown up with somebody and you're both very successful in an extremely difficult business?
Well, not to speak for Jason, but, Jason hasn't trained, I don't think, half as long as I have. So, the fact that 2004 was his first big year, that's understandable, and I know he's put together a very strong group of clients to enhance his stable every year, and he's got some really good horses to show it. But, I mean, growing up, as crazy as it sounds, Jason always wanted to be a jockey. That was his dream. And it was funny because our senior year in high school, I mean, he fought to make wrestling weight at 112, and all he talked about was riding. And I'm thinking, there's no way he's going to ride. But he got his weight down, and he rode for about a year, and then he just couldn't handle the weight battle anymore. And then eventually ended up in the barn training with a guy, and I guess learned a lot from him. And unfortunately, the gentleman got sick and passed away, and Dennis Drayson was his main client, and Dennis asked Jason to stay on and take the horses, and that was the beginning of him training. So we really didn't, really wasn't like we talked about it early on. I knew I wanted to be a trainer. That's what I always wanted to do, but Jason was, he wanted to be a jockey. That's what he was all about, and that's what my dad was.
And how much, I'm sure your father had a lot of input into both of your careers, right? I mean, he was able to advise both of you on what you could expect and, what you'd be facing.
Yeah, early on when we were younger, he kind of tried to steer us away from the racetrack. I think he'd have been tickled to death if we'd have been doctors or lawyers or something like that. But, early on for me, when I knew at a young age what I wanted to do, he taught me the work ethic and got me a job on a breeding farm, and I'd walk hots in the morning at the racetrack and then go right to the farm and work all day at the farm. That was my summers. But the big thing with my father is he's great at keeping us grounded because, he's as honest as they could be. And I mean, when you tell him something, if say you watch a race and you thought a horse was impressive and you watch this race, Dad. I really thought this horse was pretty impressive, and he'll watch it. And he might say, yeah, you're right, or he'll go, I didn't really think he was that impressive. You know what I mean? he'll bring you right back down and let you know. But, he's always, he's pointed us in the right direction, and he knows a lot of people in the business that, that have been in the business for a lot of years that have opened a lot of doors for us, Jason and I both, and have given us a lot of advice along the way, and it's been very helpful.
He's still in West Virginia?
He's still in West Virginia, yes. Yep.
Is he active in the game, or is he just an observer?
He is an adamant observer. As a matter of fact, he's getting ready to go in a couple of weeks for some heart surgery, and I had to check in with him Saturday right after the Florida Derby to make sure he was doing all right, because I'm sure he was bouncing off the couch and screaming and hollering and, just pretty excited.
Yeah, that would get the heart going if you have your son in a big race like that. Well, I hope all goes well with him and with you and with Jason, and we'll see you in Kentucky.
All right, Ed, thanks.
Okay.
And we have no further questions at this time. I'll turn things back over to Alicia Hughes for closing remarks.
Thank you, John. Before I let you go real quick, just wanted to ask you, with Jaywalk, this is a filly that I said that you purchased out of the Keeneland sale that you picked her out yourself. Just what was it about her back then that kind of struck you about her?
Well, Alicia, I have to say probably the main thing was her head. I mean, she just, when she walked out of the barn, she was just so attractive and really stunning, just kind of, really caught your eye. And then when, you know, when we watched her walk and watched her stand and everything, and she had, you know, she had every, all the right angles and had a nice walk on her. And I just, you know, she like that movie, you know, she had me at hello.
I said, well, she hasn't done much wrong since you've had her. So I said, congratulations again on just, I said, tremendous job with her. And selfishly, I'm thankful that I get to see her this week at Keeneland. So, but, John, as always, thank you again for taking the time out to come on and speak with us today, and, continued best of luck with everything. And actually, I'll get to see you this weekend.
Okay, Alicia. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Thanks again.
Bye-bye.
And that will do it for this week's NTRA National Media Teleconference. An audio file of this call will be up later on today at ntra.com, and a full transcript will be available there tomorrow. Once again, I would like to thank our speaker today, Trader Sarah McLaughlin, Bob Baffert, and John Service for coming all. And thank you again to all of you, all of our participants for joining the call today. We will be back on April 9th to preview the Arkansas Derby. And again, thank you for joining the call. And now back to our operator, Carolyn, to wrap things up.
And that will conclude today's conference call. Thank you, everyone, for your participation. You may now disconnect. Mm-hmm.